ओके okay. हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू भक्ति संगा जपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल. टुडे स्पीकर इज हरद्वेष नंद नंदन प्रिय निवेदिता देवी दासी माताजी. माताजी विल स्पीक ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 24 वर्स नंबर 135 ऑनवर्ड्स. हरे कृष्णा माताजी, आर यू देयर माताजी?
Yes, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna
highly fortunate. Hare Krishna, can you all hear me?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving me valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can you be slightly louder if you can?
Okay, Mataji. Okay, yeah. So, Hare Krishna to all of you. I am highly fortunate to be in association of all of you. And, you know, we all are really fortunate that we are getting a chance to read and discuss Prabhupada's Leelamrit. And thank you for the mercy. Because of all of you, I am here. So, without wasting time, we will start. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरा उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च निरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखावितांश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे. टुडे वी विल बी डूइंग एज माताजी सेड वी विल बी डूइंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला Chapter 24, verse number 135. This verse is actually from, it is a quotation which is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, verse 6. So I will start reading that. Before that, we will do the Srimad Bhagavatam invocation together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत्. नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. श्रण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्य श्रवण कीर्तन रियंत स्थितो अभद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सदम्. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. नमः पंकजनाभाय नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे. हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे. श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय. सो द वर्स for today is
Nirodho Asyanushyatmanam Atmanaha Sahasaktibhi Muktir Hitvanyatharupam Svarupena Vyavasthitaha.
The translation for this verse is, the merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable gross and the subtle material bodies. So, in this verse, the translation, the verse is talking about two things. The first is, it is telling that the living entities, you know, they all merge up in whichever conditioned state they are in, they merge up with Mahavishnu, and then when again the creation starts, then wherever they had stopped, wherever was their stage, from there they start again. At the same time, as we all know that, you know, there are broadly, if we have to very broadly categorize, there are two kinds of living entities. Most of the living entities are Nitya Muktas. They are always serving the Lord and they are in the spiritual world. But there are a few, you know, which is a lesser proportion, but there are few who unfortunately don't want to serve the Lord because they have some desires which they personally, you know, want to enjoy. They have some desires because of which this small cloud of Mahatattva happens and the creation happens, because Lord is so merciful that he gives all these living entities also a chance to fulfill the desires, and then apart from fulfilling their desires, there is an option wherein these living entities can go back to Godhead. This going back to Godhead, which we call as liberation, because then we are liberated from this conditioning, this material conditioning, and we go back to our original state, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls that Jivesh Nitya Swarup Krishna Das. So when we go back to that original state, then we are liberated. So before we discuss any further on this, I would like to, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful purport which Srila Prabhupada has given. And I know while many of you who are in the Bhagavatam calls as well, they might have gone through it, but as these topics are, you know, ever relishable, the more we discuss, we relish more. So I would like to read few of the important, which I thought, though the entire purport is readable and, you know, it takes time to read and understand it, but at least the few important points considering the time that we have in hand. So I would just read the few important points from here. In purport, Srila Prabhupada tells that the ever-conditioned souls are apt to develop a mentality of lording over the material nature, and therefore the material cosmic creation is manifested to give the ever-conditioned souls two kind of facilities. One facility is that conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord over the cosmic manifestation, and the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So after the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, most of the conditioned souls merge into the existence of the Mahavishnu personality of Godhead, lying in his mystic slumber to be created again in the next creation. But some of the conditioned souls who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures are thus able to go back to Godhead, attain spiritual and original bodies after quitting the conditional, gross and subtle material bodies. While I was reading this, I thought that, you know, how nicely Prabhupada said that most of the conditional souls go back into Mahavishnu's body, but there are just few who are able to, you know, before this final dissolution takes place,
So the time between the creation to the dissolution, in that time there are just some souls who are able to attain the real aim of human life. The real aim of human life, they are able to, the real aim for which we come, we have been going through so many yonis, as we all know, and then we attain, and then there are few who actually can go out and get really liberated, which is the second line, the two parts the verse is talking about. And that is what Prabhupada says, that, and how they get liberated, he says that they follow. He's saying that the some conditioned souls can do that, who follow, who are those souls? Who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures. And as we will move ahead with few other points in this purport, we'll see that the main Vedic literatures he talks about, the sound of the Vedic literatures which he's talking about, is mostly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially in this purport, he will emphasize on Srimad Bhagavatam. All the Vedic literature aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And as soon as one is fixed upon this point, he at once becomes liberated from the conditioned life. So he says that any Vedic literature that we have, because he says all, aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead. But the only difference could be, as we know in different Puranas, which are in different gunas, the degree to which, the clarity and the degree to which they are taking depends on the soul's stage also. So that's why there's a variation. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amal Puran, that's the purest, that only gives us this. And as soon as one is fixed upon this point, the point that is the devotional service to the personality of Godhead, he becomes liberated from this conditioned life. Now, the last line of the purport here, he says, one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, this information, like before he says, information about the personality of Godhead. So one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy his proper place in the kingdom of God. So after reading the verse and the purport, I thought that in the class, since this is the month of Bhadra, in this month we have Bhadra Purnima. And, this is the month when the seven-day recitation that happened between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj that took place. So as we all might be knowing that it started on the Shukla Paksh Naomi, the recitation had started, and it had ended, it continued for 7 days, and it had ended on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra. And therefore, you see in ISKCON also we have the Srimad Bhagavatam donation marathon that goes on, Srimad Bhagavatam donation marathon on the full moon day of Bhadra. That is because in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a benediction that Shukdev Goswami has given, that whoever donates on this day, and certain benedictions are there. So anyways, donating Bhagavatam any time of the year is very auspicious, but there is a special benediction on that day. So ISKCON has also initiated that marathon for that purpose. But the entire month is, this is the month when the Bhagavatam was recited. So I thought that, and this purport here also, Prabhupada is, emphasizing on the Vedic literary sounds and how we get liberated using these sounds for the importance of Bhagavatam. As such, in the first canto of Bhagavatam also, there are when we have Bhagavatam lectures, and during those times we have gone through a lot of importance of Bhagavatam. But as I have said, these are the topics, the more we relish it, it's like honey, it's always a good time to just have its sweetness. And when it is in association of all nice Vaishnava friends like you, it's much more relishable. So I thought that why not to take some of the, Mahatma, some of the importance of Bhagavatam, which is described in Skanda Puran, And, you know, we can relish about that in the Skanda Puran, there are, you know, there are different narrations in which there is importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then as such, just as we say that, you know, even with thousands of mouths of Shesha, he is not able to complete the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, even though he has started times immemorial. So, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, you know, non-different from Sri Krishna, it's the literary incarnation of Sri Krishna. So finishing up its, you know, even trying to finish up it or saying its glory in one class or one life will not be possible, you know. So, but still we can take a drop and just all of us together can taste it out. So that would be my humble attempt in today's lecture. So actually in Skanda Puran, there are three chapters which are dedicated to this. So I will, you know, take a few its and bits from here and there, and we can, because they are very big chapters, so we cannot discuss it in this time, but we can take few portions from there. So the first part which I like you know, it's by from Uddhava, like there is an instance where now, you know, the King Vajrana, who was the grandson of Krishna and son of Pradyumna, he has become the king of Mathura, and then as we know, Parikshit Maharaj was there at that time. And so Parikshit Maharaj and Vajranab, they meet, and there is a big question answer that happens. And after that, Parikshit Maharaj goes somewhere, and there he meets Uddhava. But anyways, we leave all that background, and now there's a discussion, a dialogue between Uddhava and Parikshit Maharaj. And then Parikshit Maharaj asks the question. And then, you know, Uddhava is giving answers to various questions. So while he is answering, he tells that, you know, because Krishna is unmanifest, Krishna is not there. So everyone is in great separation from Lord Krishna. And they are in a very sorrowful state. And that's what actually Parikshit Maharaj was little bit more worried about King Vajrana, because he was feeling the separation more, since he felt like, you know, though he was the king of Braja, the Mathura, it looked like it's like more or less fully empty. So he was just expressing his concerns. And then Uddhava says that when Lord Krishna is unmanifest, he will appear from Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that whenever and wherever the devotee Bhagavata hears and recites the book Bhagavata, at that time and that place, Lord Krishna personally appears. Whenever a verse of Bhagavatam or even half a verse of Bhagavatam is recited, Lord Krishna and his beloved gopis manifest there. He goes on, you know, propounding on this, and he even says that after attaining a human birth, those who do not hear Srimad Bhagavatam due to sinful activities are committing suicide. A person who regularly hears or recites Srimad Bhagavatam delivers the forefathers of his wife, mother, father, and so on. After many lifetimes of performing pious activities, when a person achieves full perfection, then he obtains the Srimad Bhagavatam. By reading Srimad Bhagavatam, one's devotional sentiments are awakened and Lord Krishna manifests within the heart. So he on and on, he goes on telling about Bhagavatam. And then in this narration, he tells one story. He says that long ago, Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of the demigods, heard Bhagavatam by the mercy of Sankhya Rishi, and then Brihaspati tells this story. So, and he says that from this story, we get to know that, you know, how we have to listen or read or serve Bhagavatam. So now it is a conversation within conversation, and then Brihaspati is telling to Uddhava, and now Uddhava is telling the same thing to Parikshit Maharaj. So Brihaspati says, "Oh Uddhava, when Lord Krishna accepted the Purusha incarnation and glanced over the material nature to create, Then the three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, appeared along with the three modes of material nature, Sattva, Raja, and Tamam. And then Lord Krishna assigns them the work of maintenance, creation, maintenance, and destruction. Now we know that Lord Krishna does this with his expansions. You know, we know Mahavishnu, Garbha, Dakshai Vishnu, and then how the creation takes place. So, you know, he does it via his plenary expansions. And then we know that from the navel of Garbha, Dakshai Vishnu, a lotus comes out, and on that Lord Brahma appears. So Brihaspati says that, you know, when Brahma appeared and then he prays to the Lord for a long, long time. And then when the Lord appears to him, who is very pleased by his, you know, whatever he does, the penances he does for the Lord, to see the Lord. So he says that to achieve the fulfillment of his desires, he should serve Srimad Bhagavatam. So on receiving Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma was greatly pleased, and in order to attain Krishna, he starts serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all of Lord Brahma's desires were fulfilled by serving Srimad Bhagavatam for that 7-day sacrifice. So Lord Brahma serves Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, like Lord Brahma's 7 days, we know, are very long. So, you know, he serves Srimad Bhagavatam for those 7 days. And then onwards, you know, this because it's like long chapter, it says that, you know, the three guna avatars, it's Brahma and then Vishnu and the Shiva, then they all serve for different periods. So Brahma gets what he wanted, the guidance and whatever he wished, by serving 7 days, and then Vishnu does this for a month, and then Lakshmiji does it for 2 months, and it's said in Skanda Puran that when Lakshmiji does it for 2 months, it is more relishious, it's more melodious, it's more sweet. The reason Skanda Puran states is, you know, Vishnu is busy with his task, but Lakshmi is totally doing that, so, you know, Vishnu relishes it more than Lakshmiji recites it. So that's how devotees are. Whenever they are in contact with each other, they talk about Krishna, they talk about his pastimes, they talk about his devotees' pastimes, and that is what all Srimad Bhagavatam is about. So they are always continuously hearing or listening Srimad Bhagavatam, and in that way they are continuously serving Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, they look for the opportunity wherein they can start discussing on this topic, they can start serving Bhagavatam in that way. And then in Skanda Puran, we also see that Shambhu, he does his service for a year. So that is how they started. Like, this is at the start of the creation. They, you know, they also Bhagavatam. And then on, you know, Uddhava says that Uddhava also after, this is Lord Brihaspati, he is telling. Just a second, sorry. So Uddhava is telling. So this is what the Lord Brihaspati has told Uddhava, the story that happened when the when creation has happened. That is when the story took place. And after finishing this, Sri Uddhava, he relates to Parikshit Maharaj that after hearing all this, Uddhava Maharaj was so inspired, and he wanted to serve Bhagavatam himself. So he continues with this tradition, and continuing in the Vaishnava tradition, that is Vishnu, he served it for initially for the 1 month. So continuing in the Vaishnava tradition, he served Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 month. And due to the influence of this service, he says that I became dear friend of Lord Krishna. And he sent me to Vrindavan, and there I was able to serve and get association of his beloved gopis. So then onwards, I think in this chapter there is a lot more, but when we move to the next chapter after that, wherein he describes, you know, that he describes listeners, he describes types of listeners. So we saw that even the great personalities, you know, all all the demigods and even Uddhavas, the great devotees, they all are always hearing, listening, reciting, and in this way they are serving Srimad Bhagavatam. And very fortunately here they also describe the types of listeners. So I was enticed and I thought, it's good that we also discussed that. So he describes that, he says, now I will describe those who listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. He says there are two types of listeners, superior and inferior. Superior listeners are of four kinds, namely Chataka bird, swan, parrot and fish. And inferior listeners are also of four kinds, wolf, Burunda bird, bull and camel. So just in very short, he says that like swan, when we are talking about, the superior kind of listener, so he says swan, just like a swan can extract milk from the mixture of milk and water, one who can extract the essential topics of Lord Krishna while listening to various topics is called a swan listener. The second type is parrot. He has such a nice concentration that he can recite to its masters and others, whatever it is taught, one who can nicely repeat the topics as is. So as he has heard, like just in our parampara, we know the things are passed as is. So that is also a quality of a good listener, that he listens and he can produce it as is. The third was the fish. So it is said that fish is situated in the ocean. Of say, for example, the example given is that just as the fish is situated in an ocean of condensed milk, quietly drinks milk without blinking its eyes, one who quietly hears Srimad Bhagavatam while relishing the topics and staring unblinkingly at the speaker is called a fish listener. I mean, he's absorbing it so much. It's like a sponge. It's just like a fish. It's condensed milk, it's like kheer, it's like, it's the Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all the scriptures. When they're hearing, like, there's so much inquisitiveness and so much accepting tendency for that everything else in this world is forgotten when the topic is going on. The entire mind, the body, the sense, everything, like, it's, total concentration, and we are hearing it, that's a fish listener. And then there is a chataka bird. So a chataka bird does not take, as we know, it does not take water from any other source other than the specific kind of a cloud. So one who does not hear any scripture or book other than those related with Lord Krishna, and that too from, bona fide resources, so he will be called as a chataka bird. Now, a little inferior kind, wherein is like, wolf, Burunda. So wolf is like, the wolf makes the sounds, and because of the sounds, the deer and the other animals, they get disturbed. The same way a listener who himself is maybe not in that much, he's not able to concentrate that much or whatever. So he makes noises, he makes sounds, he's freaking here and there, and it is not only disturbing him, but even the fellow devotees who might be engaged in hearing the sweet topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. A Burunda bird is like, it likes show off. So show off in the sense that it is said a Burunda bird usually refers to, over here it says that it does not do what it says. So a listener who likes teaching others all the Bhagavatam, but it does not follow the instructions. And then there's a bull. It says that the bull does not distinguish between eating sweet grapes or pungent oil cakes. So there is no distinction. Same way, it's a person who cannot distinguish what he is listening to. He has no intelligence to discriminate between good or bad. He just there's no filter. He just listens whatever comes on his way. So he would be a bull listener. And the fourth category is a camel. Just like a camel rejects the sweet mango leaves and chews the bitter nim leaves, just like that, people who reject the sweet narrations of the Lord and preferably, they prefer to listen to the mundane topics more, so they would be called as camel listeners. would have said that apart from that, there are many other subcategories of classifications of listeners like Bumblebee Asset. So there are a lot of other subcategories, but these are very broad categories that he just described here. Now, after that, there's also in this Skanda Puran, we find that he tells about the procedure for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says simply by there. So he says that there are four kinds of service to the Bhagavatam, and that could be divided as Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, and Nirgun. So he says that enthusiastic service, which is joyfully performed, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol.
Yes,
hello.
Yes.
I just wanted to know like how much time I have. I mean, I'm just going on. So,
yes, Mataji, you can go on for the next, like you can go on till your time 12, that's fine. I mean, your time 11, I mean.
Okay, but thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, so the four kinds of service to the Srimad Bhagavatam as described in Skanda Puran is Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, and Nirgun. So the first one is they are described as the Rajasic Bhagavata Seva. This says that it is the enthusiastic service which is joyfully performed in 7 days. It's like like a pompous sacrifice with various types of worshipable ingredients and, you know, labor is involved, but, you know, the intention people here, but still. So it's a very pompous event which happens for 7 days and the Bhagavatam is recited and heard and all that. So that would be called, that is also a service to Bhagavatam, but that comes in the category of Rajasic Bhagavata Seva. Now, the service which is peacefully performed over a month or two while relishing the topics and thus increasing one's ecstasy will be called as Sattvic Bhagavata Seva. So when the same topics, when we do it in 7 days, it might not be to that much extent. So when it is done in a month or 2 months' time, so it could be relished more. And it is done very peacefully. There's not too much of a pomp and show around it, too much of propaganda around it. So it's done very peacefully. And the main aim is to relish the topics. So then it is Sattvic Bhagavata Seva. The service which is continued for a year, which is performed lazily yet faithfully, and any type of service, when we do a Bhagavata service, we attain happiness. Like these topics related to Krishna, related to Bhagavatam, related to Gita, whether we are talking in a Vaishnava group, in a conference call like this, face to face, in a temple, in someone's house, or anywhere, I mean park, I mean there's no restriction on any place, anywhere when we are doing this, it's like it's the nature of these topics that while we are serving them, we attain happiness, right? So it gives happiness, and in either of these ways, whether it's Rajasic, Sattvic, or Tamasic, we get happiness, and this is called Tamasic Bhagavata Seva. So it is continued for a year, and though it gives happiness, but there is a little laziness involved, and it's done over a period, so it takes a year. Now, service in which there is no consideration of time factor but continues on with love and devotion is called Nirguna Bhagavata Seva. During our Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have learnt about many of the Bhagavatas. During the entire narration, there have been so many Vaishnavas about whom we were reading on and off, and they were like so much engrossed in Bhagavata verses, and they are reciting the verses, they are singing the verses, just out of their memory, they are singing it and they are relishing it so much. I mean, I sometimes feel maybe, how is like, it's such a stage that they just relish it so much that sometimes in ecstasy, they are like, they are just numb. So much they are absorbed in it, just like the fish we heard, they are so much absorbed, they forget everything, even their bodily consciousness is lost. sometimes because they are so much deeply absorbed into the topic. So such kind of service where there's no consideration of time and it continues on and on, it's ongoing, it's lifelong and life after life after life till we go back, it's always there, it's always there, and that is the Nirguna Bhagavata Seva. It's always there, it continues with love and devotion. It's the service which is done unto the Lord. Now he clarifies over here that please know for certain that Maharaj Parikshit and Shukdev Goswami performed Nirguna Bhagavata Seva, because initially he says that 7 days it continues with great pomp and show, and that is the Ratsik Seva. And in the Bhadra month, as I said, that Bhagavatam was recited for 7 days, we know, right, from Navami till the Bhadra Purnima. So that was also a 7-day event, but he categorizes it not as Rajasik, but as Nirguna Bhagavata Seva, because he gives the reason that although the hearing continued for only 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit's life duration was also only 7 days left. And the concentration with which the speaker and the listener, they both, they were in the same rasa, so there were no rasabhas there's a lot about written, so there is a rasa also, there's a rasa of the listener and the rasa of the speaker, so they should also match. So there can be broadly, if we classify, when we are listening or hearing Bhagavatam, there are two kinds of rasa, very broad category. So one is main aim is to serve Lord Krishna, to attain his devotional service, to know about him, to talk about him and his devotees. I mean, just, you know, the devotional service is the main aim. So that is one rasa, that would be the... And the other could be, even Bhagavatam, it provides the material benefits also for the person who wants. It's like a kalpa vriksha. It's like a desire tree from which you can get whatever you want. So, you know, there are people who might want something should happen. And, even in Bhagavatam, as we know in first canto, it is said that, Lord himself says that it is preferable that even if we want material things, it's preferable to go to him rather than to go to someone else. So even the recital of Bhagavatam, or serving of Bhagavatam, or hearing of, like, listening, hearing, any kind of serving of Bhagavatam can be done with either of two motives. But there is a rasa bhas if the listener and the speaker are having different motives. But when they are in the same rasa, then it's more melodious for both of them. So anyways, we come back to our topic. So he says that there was the main aim here between Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami and the assembly, there was not any material gain, because that filter was put by Shukadev Goswami initially only. He asked him, you take, you know, all this, you take this. But he said, no, my life is to end, and I want the nectar, because he was even given nectar, that you drink nectar, then you know. But he said, no, I want the real, the spiritual nectar. And that's when this, the Bhagavat Sapta between them started, actually, I should say. So therefore, although the hearing continued only for 7 days, that was, it was Nirguna Bhagavat Seva, because the only aim was to serve the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj said he did not even get up for anything. I mean, he can do that, we cannot do that. But, so much absorbed he was in that, and even the other listeners and the speaker as well. So anyway, so now after that, he describes a lot about Srimad Bhagavatam. I will again read a few portions. So Srimad Bhagavatam says is the only wealth of those who are completely devoid of material desires and greedy to relish and hearing the chanting of pastimes of Lord Krishna. So definitely that is, yes, we see that through our own eyes in our Guru Vargas, in senior Vaishnavas. You know, I have. There are so many examples who have taken up this vow that they will read Bhagavatam, and wherever they go, they read Bhagavatam at various devotees' homes also. So they have dedicated their life for serving Bhagavatam that way. So going ahead, now there is a, this was a little bit about Bhagavatam, the listener and the hearer and the four gunas in which this could be heard. Now, we'll come back to the importance of, the results of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So as I said, the any time is less for discussing on Krishna's topics or even on glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, but we will just touch base and have a little mellow for all of us. So here, this description is in this chapter. It is the Lord Himself, and this narration is between Lord Krishna and Brahma. And in this chapter, Lord Krishna is telling Brahma about Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says that one should regularly hear the Bhagavatam with faith. Know for certain that such hearing is the only means of satisfying me. One who daily reads or hears even half or a quarter of a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam attains the results of giving 1,000 cows in charity. Those persons who worship the Vaishnava literature Srimad Bhagavatam in their house are freed from all sins, and they become worshipped by even the demigods. So here, worship means definitely we have to put them in a nice asana, in a nice, nice cupboard, nice clean place. And we can offer lamp if we possibly can every day, that's good. But apart from that, we have to serve them. Just like when we have deities at our home, we serve them. Same way, if we have Bhagavatam at our home, it's our duty, it's our job to serve Bhagavatam every day. And the best way to serve Bhagavatam is to either read it on our own, or just all the family members can sit together and we can read it to each other. That's the best way of serving Bhagavatam. One who with devotion, going ahead, Lord says many things, so I will just read a few of them. So one who with devotion gives the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam to a Vaishnava resides in my abode for millions of kalpas. In Kali Yuga, wherever the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam is recited, I reside along with all the demigods. My dear son, all the holy rivers, my dear son, because Krishna is stating it to Brahma, so my dear son, all the holy rivers, kundas, lakes, all sacrifices, the seven sacred cities, Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, which is Ujjain, and Dwarka, and all the holy mountains are present where Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. So, Lord, when he's saying that, so that means that if at home we have Bhagavatam, and if daily at our home, just maybe 10 minutes, if we can discuss it with our kids, with our spouses, with our family members, our parents, not only we are serving, our heart is continuously getting cleansed, we are getting the mercy of the Lord, but our home, because as Lord says, all the holy places, holy rivers, holy mountains, everything is there. The home becomes a dham. We need not go anywhere if we can serve Bhagavatam. Oh, my dear son, there is no one more sinful than one who does not go anywhere to hear Bhagavatam, especially on the day of Ekadashi. So herein he is saying that even if we cannot do it every day, at least once in a fortnight when Ekadashi comes, we can do that. We can at least open and read one or half a verse if we are too busy. I reside in the house of, Lord Krishna is saying here, I reside in the house of one who has kept there a verse, a half verse, or even a quarter of verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh my God, I mean, he's obviously, Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, so he is there. He's there and maybe he's just waiting that we serve him so that he can take us back to himself. I mean, he's so merciful. All glories to the Lord. The purity one attains by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be attained by visiting Badrikashram or taking bath in the confluence of Prayag. Lord Krishna goes on and says, I never leave one who enjoys speaking or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So one who is continuously talking about him, who is continuously serving him, obviously the Lord never leaves him. So one who does not offer respect after seeing the, so Lord continues that one who does not offer respect after seeing the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam loses the pious credits he accumulated over the past years. It's just like if Lord is there and we do not pay obeisances, it is even in Vaishnava etiquette, it is we know that, you know, even when our Guru Vargas are there or senior Vaishnavas are there, it is our duty, it is that we have to pay our obeisances to them. So what to say of the Lord, like Srimad Bhagavatam is the Lord personified in literature form. So we should definitely pay our obeisances to Srimad Bhagavatam. I am unlimitedly pleased with one who stands in respect and offers obeisances upon seeing Srimad Bhagavatam. A person who circumambulates Srimad Bhagavatam achieves the result of an Ashwamedh Yajna. With every step of this, there is no doubt. O Brahma, among all types of festivals, the festivals of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. Those who participate in such festivals for my pleasure, and hear Srimad Bhagavatam with devotion, and those who worship Srimad Bhagavatam keep me in their control, just like a chaste wife controls her good husband. So with this, we will, end the glories, a few of the glories that we read of Srimad Bhagavat Puran from Skanda Puran. And I would also like to, put a stop at the lecture for the day. If any of you have any comments, corrections, or questions, please ask me at this time. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for a very nice session on Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you so much for talking about Bhadra Purnima and also about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam as told in Skanda Purana. It was very, very nice, very interesting to listen to all these details, different types of listeners, and the different modes in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the different benefits. Extremely beautiful, Mataji. I was just pondering over this point. When you were talking about the different kinds of listeners who are not good listeners, you were talking about camel. Camel rejects the sweet mango leaves and chews bitter stuff. So such people who delve on mundane topics is called as a camel listener. So I was just thinking, because when we, the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it says, Dharma Projita Kaitava, kicking out all mundane religiosity, Bhagavatam delves only on transcendental matters. So I was wondering what can be mundane about Bhagavatam, or how do we understand that statement about the camel listeners? Can you please throw some insight, Mataji?
Yes, I will try. I mean, I can just share what I thought when I read this. I thought, because maybe I become a camel listener sometimes. So, sometimes the topic is going on, but if we are not present over there, because it happens with me sometimes that a very relishable topic is going on, but maybe because of some reason, because of some material thing which is pressing, it could be my child issue or something else, something has happened just maybe half an hour before, and therefore it has disturbed my mind so much that I'm not able to concentrate. I mean, I could be physically present in the class, but I am actually not mentally present there. So I'm not able to take the benefit of the class. I'm listening just physically.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. So I understand that it's not the Bhagavatam itself where they are deriving the mundane thing, but it is from outside that is mundane, which is a distraction.
Yes. So it's like, the mind is like that camel who is attracted. So if he has both the choices, he will choose the neem, which is bitter. So having both the choices, it is choosing at that instead of relishing the nectar of Bhagavatam, it is choosing to relish something else, and therefore it is going over there. So at that time, the listener is like a camel listener.
Very nice. And also, I think the point that you clarified about Parikshit Maharaj listening in 7 days is actually beyond the gunas. That was very nice. Very, very nice. for the different classifications of Rajasic, Tamasic, Sattvic, and Nirguna listeners. That was also very, very interesting to hear. Thank you, Mataji. This was a very nice informative class. Thank you so much for coming on the call. Thank you. Anyone else has any questions or comments? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. This is Vinaya, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for telling us the importance of Bhagavatam and also telling us how, you know, its benefit, like how it is like, you know, like kind of holy place. Our house will become like a holy place, and how it is important even if we read a half a purport or a one line or two lines. So nice that, you know, it encourages the newcomers who wanted to touch the Bhagavatam for the first time, maybe especially for me. It's really very nice. And when you're talking about all the listeners, like, you know, fish listener, parrot and swan, such a beautiful narration, Mataji. Thank you. I heard for the first time all that, and hope one day I will become like a fish listener, Mataji. I wanted to, you know, completely involve in Leela of Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, just mesmerize in that. I just don't come out of it. I want one day by, you know, always associating with the pure devotees, one day I'll come over there, Mataji. Thank you so much for each and every point that you have discussed today on the call. Thank you for coming on the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Actually, you know, thank you to all of you. It's just like it's a small drop of honey. And we, if you all relished it along with me, I mean, it has increased my pleasure so many more times. After a long time, this whatever I said, it's not anything that I have made or I have said. So no credit goes to me. But all the credit goes to, you know, all the Vaishnava parampara through which we are coming. So all the credit goes over there. All this is from the books. So we just repeated it and relished it. So it's you know, it's just the joy of giving and listening. It's we served Bhagavatam together. I think that's what we did. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Oh, was there somebody else? Okay, yes, I too, you know, found this class very, very interesting. A couple of points, if you could just repeat for me, because I missed them. You said that Prakshit Maharaj was beyond the modes in his healing. One is because, you know, it was only 7 days, but that was all he had to his life. But another reason you gave, if you could help me with that, I missed. Or maybe, I don't know, was there another reason? Or was that the only one?
Sorry, Mataji, I'm not able to get the question.
Okay. Yes. Prakshit Maharaj, you were explaining, was beyond the modes, beyond the three modes in his hearing of Bhagavatam. Because even though he was only listening for 7 days, but 7 days was all he had to his life, right? So that was, you know, it was beyond the modes in that way. Are you able to hear me properly?
Yes.
Okay. And then you gave another reason, I think, for why we can understand that Prakshit Maharaj was not listening in the modes. Was there another reason? Besides the one I just
said. Yes. So the thing is that when we were discussing the different modes of the four kinds of service that we discussed, the Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, and Nirguna. So
yeah.
It was said that Sikh Bhagavata Seva is for 7 days. It's pompously done. You know, enthusiastic people get together and they do this service. So and when all of this was described, and then it is said that it is in Ratsing mode and it is done for 7 days. So just because people like, you know, when we read, we should not get that, oh, maybe that was also done for 7 days. So we cannot compare this two. And therefore it is said that, it is said in the Skanda Puran, when Uddhava Ji is telling that, he says that,
Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami performed the yajna for 7 days, but still it's a Nirgun Bhagavata Seva. The reason was, one thing is, like as we said in Nirgun, it's like entire life. So for him, the one of the reasons was that his life was for 7 days. Had he got 20 more days time, he would have done the same thing. But he had 7 days and he spent it fully in the service of the Lord. And the other thing was obviously that the motive, you know, the motive with which he was doing, though there was a, like assembly, we know all the sages have come, but it was not his motive to call everyone and do some Ratsuya Yagya and get something that he has done as king before. But now that he was about to leave his life, his only motive was to get this nectar. In a very humble position, he was hearing this, just like, you know, as the good listeners that has been listed before. So the motive of the hearer and the listener were very pure. They were in the Nirgun category. So that therefore also it comes in the category of Nirgun Seva.
Mm-hmm. And so both the listener and the hearer were in Nirgun. How about, isn't it enough for just the listener to be in the mode of Nirgun? Does the speaker necessarily have to also be for it to be Nirgun listening?
So about this, as I have touched in very short, so in the Srimad Bhagavat Mahatmya part in Skanda Puran, it says that if the reciter and the listener are not of the same category, then there is a contradiction. And usually no result is obtained. Such a situation is called rasabhas, or overlapping of mellows. But a person who desires Krishna, so for example, as you are saying, that the listener really wants Krishna. I mean, Nirguna is that you are in devotional service. It's all for Krishna. You are serving Krishna. It's for pleasure of Krishna. You want Krishna, right? So, but the person who desires Krishna, whether as a speaker or listener, will certainly attain his goal, even if it's a little delayed. So therefore it is said, right, lava matra sadhu sangha. So if we can get the sangha of a real sadhu, a real person who is in that status, and we can get to hear the Bhagavatam, the glories of the Lord from him, that instant, that lava matra sadhu sangha liberates us. But even if it's not done, but still we are listening, we are practicing, we are doing, and Krishna is saying, we are in association, we are serving. So the result might be a little delayed, as it is said in Skanda Puran. I'm not saying it. The Skanda Puran says that the results might be delayed, but we will certainly get it.
Okay, Mataji. Actually, your answer just now reminded me of a question that I had but forgotten. And you just quoted that. You just quoted the statement that said, you know, if the listener and the speaker are of the same, you know, sincerity in wanting Krishna, then, you know, they are liberated immediately, right? I'm just wondering what that really means, liberated immediately, because, like, on this sangha itself, you know, there are so many sincere listeners, so many sincere speakers, you know. Well, how do I understand that, really? Because even after we hang up, right, many of us still feel plagued by the modes, you know. So what does this immediate liberation mean, really? I do not know
which verse you're pointing to, but I know that definitely if you're saying
I'm referring to what you just read.
Yes.
About being,
Love Master Sadhu Sangha, about that saying you're saying. Yes, so if we get the, you know, the association of a pure devotee, of a pure unalloyed devotee, definitely, like, it is not by me, it's our Acharya Parampara who says that, we would be liberated because they are so pure. Just like, you know, just like, for example, there are so many, but if we take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his associates, and when they are in contact with someone, however fallen they are, you know, they are changed, that change happens. Even, for example, Srila Prabhupada, I mean, what a magic he has done when he said that, you know, when a question was asked and he said, I converted the hippies to happies. I mean, can I do that? I cannot, but he can. I mean, that was his stage. That was where he is. But even if I read Bhagavatam, can I be Srila Prabhupada? I cannot be. But that doesn't mean that someone else cannot be. I mean, I'm not in a position to judge any other person. That would be wrong. And I'm not.
Okay, but even Srila Prabhupada, we saw that, you know, let's take, since you use him as an example, let's use him that so many devotees, they did fall away. So even when it comes to Srila Prabhupada, how should we understand? Because it doesn't seem that those who fell away were immediately liberated.
So, Mataji, there are fall downs. This is material world. There are fall downs. I have also heard, I do not remember, like maybe someone in the call can help me out with that, about a devotee. What was his name? I'm not remembering now, but I heard that story, maybe someone in WhatsApp told or in a lecture I had somewhere I heard that, you know, he was there, he was very active while Prabhupada was there, and later he left that, he went back to drugs and whatever he used to do, and, you know, at the end of his life, devotees were not even knowing where he is. I'm not getting his name right now. When he was in the hospital, on the deathbed, and I think he had AIDS or something at that time, and he was on the deathbed, and there was someone near him on the bed, and later he asked this con devotee, and that's how people came to know. He asked that who is Prabhupada, and then that devotee said, why? And then he said, you know, at that time, when he was leaving his life, he just called out in so much pain that, Prabhupada, you are here. I mean, you know, that's the case, that even if there is a fall down, Prabhupada is a guru who will not leave you. He won't leave you.
He said, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. You said, even though what?
Even though there was a fall down in that person's life, at the end life, the last statement he said was that, Prabhupada, you are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, so Prabhupada was there, whatever, like at the end life, he was remembering Prabhupada. So it is said that at the end moment, whatever you remember, that gati you get. So do you think that all his sinful activities will have power, or will his spiritual activities will have power if by leaving body he sees Prabhupada? You know, so that's Prabhupada's mercy. So we cannot fathom on his mercy. I mean, that's just unfathomable.
I was just trying to reconcile.
Just have faith. I am too little to say anything for these great souls or even for these great literatures. I just repeated the words. But only one thing, I have faith, and I would just say, I know you might always be having faith, and we just have to re-enable each other's faith, and that is, if we are serving Bhagavatas, whether a person Bhagavat or a book Bhagavat or the deity Krishna, you know, if we are serving, all our life with our heart. There could be fall downs, we are humans here and there, but then if we have been doing it, you know, Krishna, our guru, the Bhagavatam, they won't betray. These are the words of our literature, these are the words of Puranas, these are not false. If we do it, we will get the result. There is no doubt about it. These are the words of our parampara, our gurus. It cannot be false. Because if we do not have faith in that, then there is nothing. But if we have faith, then just do it. Go on doing it. And we will get the result. Don't worry about the result now. Just go on doing it.
Okay. The last thing is next to last thing, tamasic listening. You know, I think you were saying that if we are listening with no particular time frame in which to complete the particular shastra, you know, I think you're saying that is tamasic listening?
No. The Skanda Puran says that when it is done, the entire Bhagavatam is done in a year, because there are some laziness also involved. So it's done in a year, so it's usually called tamasic. So in our frame, maybe if you want to put in today, you can say that when we are doing it lazily with something, so it could be a little tamasic. I mean, it's just the mode, right? When laziness comes in, it's tamasic.
Okay. And just last thing is, you're giving examples using, I think, animals for the different modes in which we listen. What were those animals? Because I couldn't hear properly.
So, yes, Mataji. So, I'm reading all this from Skanda Puran. There's a book. I mean, if you want, I can send a picture of this book in the WhatsApp group. Okay, so then you can read it all if you want. I will repeat the names of those animals.
Yeah, I just wanted the names, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So the names are the superior listeners, birds, swan, parrot, and fish, and the inferior listeners, wolf, Virunda, bird, bull, and camel. But if you want to read and know about in detail, I mean, there's so much. I just touched the tip of it. There's an entire book on it. So if you want, I can send the pictures.
Yeah, I heard camel.
It's very less than $5. So you should be able to.
I only heard camel. So the four, there was camel. Okay. And what were the other three?
Camel. Okay, the bull, Virunda bird, bull, and camel.
Yeah, what kind of bird was it? I can't hear properly.
It's Virunda bird.
Oh. Virunda bird, bull, camel, and...
bull.
Yes, I only have three.
And the other four animals were Chataka bird, swan, parrot, and fish.
Yeah, those are good. Okay, thank you, Mamzi. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please all the best senses. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Really, the class is like an eye-opener for me, Mataji. Previously, I did not know this much importance of reading Bhagavatam, and if you have the Bhagavatam at home also, how auspicious it is to have the Bhagavatam set at home also, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving the detailed explanation of importance of Bhagavatam, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glories to the devotees, to Srimad Bhagavatam and Skanda Puran, wherein we are getting all the information. Hare.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any questions or comments? Okay. So thank you again, Mataji, for the very, very nice class. Thanks to everyone who joined and participated in the discussion. It was a very beautiful discussion. We can end the call now. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaivacha patitanam putubhyo namah. Ananta koti vaishnava vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, glories of Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, her grace Nandanandan Priya Nivedita Mataji ki jai.
Thank you, Vilasati Mataji ki jai, and all the Vaishnavas ki jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.